Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. First week of September. As always, I'm with Columbus Mayor Jim Lineup. We're outside. You probably can hear the noise of a beautiful day in Columbus. Thank you for joining us outside at Exhibit Columbus.
You're very welcome, Joe. This is a great time to be in Columbus. It's a great time to just come walk around our downtown area. You know, behind us, we've got one of the installations, this one from a high school design team. But just a fun effort to come and enjoy outdoors, a little bit interesting designs from different kind of thoughts, and just have a great day.
Yeah. So this year's Exhibit Columbus has a theme.
Right.
Public by design,
yes.
I believe. And you probably have a little bit of interest in that, being you're the mayor of the city.
Well, you know, I mean, what we try to do with Exhibit Columbus is to, entertain, but also challenge people a little bit, just to give them something to think about. And at the same time, as I said, to entertain or to show a little bit of excellence in design. So some really smart people have tried to figure out different ways to display the space or to use the space that we've got. And so we've got, I'll say, 14 installations around the downtown area. And it's just interesting to see what other people who are not from the area see when they look at our open space, you know, what opportunities they see.
How important is this to this city? What does Exhibit Columbus bring to the city?
Well, Exhibit Columbus does several different things for us. Part of what it does is it helps the residents who live here focus on our architectural legacy. I mean, it is something that really is important, but because we live with it, because we see it every day, it's also something to put in the back of your mind or even just forget about. It also allows for others to come to Columbus and see what we have here. You know, building doesn't change too much. I mean, City Hall, where I work, was built about 40 years ago, and no, it looks a lot like it did 40 years ago. But we still invite people to come take a look at it, and part of what you need to be able to do is to keep your community fresh. And so every 2 years, we've got a little bit of a refresh on, you know, downtown design here. So it does a couple of good things, some for residents, some for visitors.
All right, well, we do want to get to a couple of other items on this show today. We had our Indiana Public Broadcasting environmental reporter, Rebecca Thiel, IPBS, report on the city shutting down a well, revealing
right.
some PFAS, toxic chemical. I saw a number of water suppliers actually in the state had levels that were higher than anyone would want. What's being done? Where is this right now?
Okay, we've got three initiatives underway. One's short-term, one's mid-term, one's long-term. The short-term is to shut down a couple of wells. We have about 30 wells here for the city of Columbus. And I want to say there was one that had a reading that was, you know, sort of an outlier. I mean, much higher, 45 parts per trillion, let's say, instead of non-detect or single digits. And so we think if we shut that one down, the average of the remaining will be below the proposed guidelines. And we've had some tests taken. The tests are at the lab. We should expect, we expect a result within a month, but it might be two. Because when you're measuring parts per trillion, there's only two labs in the country. I mean, a trillion is 1 second out of 320 centuries. So think about that. I mean, that's how small, you know, we're measuring here for in the public water supply. So we're gonna shut down a well. We've already drawn samples to retest, and we're waiting to get the results back from that. The second or the midterm response will be to drill some new wells. And, you know, the wells are significant in size and diameter. We've drilled some pilot wells to test what's down there in the aquifer. And the results that have come back so far have been no detection. You know, so we think that we can bring some additional wells online, but that's going to take a few months to get all that taken care of. Long term, we will pursue activated charcoal to act as a filter, and that'll remove the PFAS. The PFAS compounds will adhere to the charcoal and be removed from the drinking water. But that's going to take, you know, longer yet. That may be, I hate to put a number on it, you know, in terms of months or years, but it'll be out there a little bit, a little ways. But immediately we're going to close down the offending wells. We're going to drill some new ones so that we think we can get our overall average below the proposed guidelines. And then long term, we aim for zero, which is the use of the activated charcoal. And then I guess it's really a fourth strategy, which is that we will pursue reimbursement for these costs from some of the manufacturers associated with these compounds. 3M and DuPont have already been engaged in litigation, and we intend to join that. And as I said, get some reimbursement for the costs that we will bear to respond to this.
Well, some good news about water. I read where the city received a certificate from IDEM for a riverfront, riverfront project.
Right. Yeah.
This long-term project. But you'll take any good news you can get on this.
Well, absolutely. You know, there's several different hurdles that we have to cross in order to get to where we can bid our riverfront project. And the IDEM certification was one of them. We're now waiting for the Army Corps of Engineers to review that permit, make sure that it meets their standards, and then we hope to hear from them within another month or so.
What's the, so just to give people a little bit of background, what's the goal of this project?
Goal of the riverfront project?
Yeah.
Is to reimagine the river. We want to do three or four things there all at one time. And it's, you know, maybe that's part of the issue, is it's been a little ambitious. But if you're familiar with the People Trail system here in Columbus, that's sort of the missing front tooth. I mean, we've got an area there between those 2nd and 3rd Street bridges that are where the People Trails don't connect. And we want to be able to provide that connection at a different grade than the trucks. Right? I mean, we don't want grandma and grandpa taking the stroller across the street when there's a propane truck bearing down on them. At the same time, we've got a dam in there that is failing. You know, we want to take that out, but we want to have something that goes back in there that protects the wetlands and the city park that's just upstream. Millrace Park is maybe a half mile, you know, just upstream from this dam site. In addition, we've got some erosion on both sides of the river. One threatens to expose an old sewer pipe that sort of been taken out of service, but nonetheless still needs to be protected. And then on the far side, or the, I guess it'd be the west side of the river, there's an old landfill, you know, that had been a brownfield site many years ago, and we'd really like for it to stay capped. You know, we don't want the river coming through and eroding the cap that's on top of that. So we've got several different perspectives on this river that we want to try to address. And at the capstone, or maybe not capstone is probably not the right word, but we would also like to be able to provide some kind of recreational opportunity for people, as we have talked to particularly younger folks who consider Columbus as a home. You know, part of what they want are outdoor recreational opportunities, and in particular in-water types. And so we feel like we've got an opportunity to provide that here. And we're going to do this, might as well do it all at once, get it done with, and, you know, have something that we can enjoy. The current dam is about 100 years old, so, you know, we're hoping for another 100 with the new one.
I saw a report in the Republic, the Commons Board has a new set of rules after experiencing some camping, sleeping at the Commons. It caught my eye because Bloomington just passed ordinances to banning tents overnight, now daytime, keeping people sleeping off sidewalks. But, you know, we're talking about people, though, who are experiencing homelessness, right?
Well, they're experiencing a lot more than homelessness.
Yeah.
I mean, for people who are only homeless, you know, we have some excellent options for those folks. There's a homeless shelter here called Brighter Days that will give them temporary housing. We've got educational programs. We've got some work programs. The people who run that will get, you know, the individuals who are experiencing only homeless connected with a way to, how do you want to phrase this, rebuild their lives. And so we're happy to do that, and we feel like that's some of the compassion that we're supposed to show as a community, and that we're trying to help these folks through a tough time. The issue that we have down at the Commons and at most other city parks is people who are also homeless, but also subject to some mental illness and some substance abuse disorder. And those folks have, we offer the same programs to them, but they are a little less receptive, you know, for that kind of assistance. And they want to be able to sleep where they want to sleep and lounge where they want to lounge and, you know, do whatever else comes to their mind. And it interferes with the quiet enjoyment of those parks by other residents. And that's the sort of the tension, you know, that has come here. And so what we're trying to do is to explain to all folks the minimum standards for use of a park. You know, you're welcome here, but you can't live here. You know, you can't stay here. You got to keep moving on. And so the first step was down at the Commons to pass a set of rules so that everybody knows it's clear, we can post it, and everybody can see, you know, what the expectations are. And then based upon how that works, I anticipate that we'll roll this out to other city parks as well.
No, we got to get going, but I wanted to get a quick update on the Nexus Park. I know that a lot has happened
right
in the last month.
Yeah. It's exciting. I mean, they've skinned the facility, or pretty much, you know, put the exterior skin on. They're doing the floor. You know, it's a it's hard to imagine a piece of concrete that big, that flat. But that's what the challenge has been. That's what they've got to do, the contractors. But it's on schedule. We're thinking that we'll have what I call a ticketed event, you know, a paying event sometime in the second quarter of 2024. Right now, we're kind of focused on the south side of the building, which is where the Parks Department will move, where the community spaces will be. But we anticipate having four grand openings out there. I mean, the place is that big. There's that much going on. CRH, when it opens its clinic, we'll have a grand opening for it. We'll have one for the field house, one for the parks and community spaces. It'll be on the south end of the building. And then we'll have a fourth one for the landscape. You know, once all the interior work is done, then we'll finish off the parking lot. There'll be a little park, a green space, you know, to the south side of the building, and appropriate lighting and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be fun, and there's plenty to enjoy. So just stay tuned.
Thank you so much for coming out here today hot day, but it's nice to be out, isn't it?
I love this. Yeah. Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Take care.